Hello, I'm Mercedes.
And I'm Tash, and you're listening to episode 266 of Chat Disney. Welcome back to another episode of the Chat Disney podcast, and this is a bit of a breaking news episode because there have been some major, major updates from Disneyland Paris this week. Unless you've been living under a rock, you'll know exactly what we're talking about. So I'm not going to go into it anymore now because the whole episode today is going to be dedicated to Disneyland Paris and the updates that are coming. But in normal Chat Disney fashion, before we get into that, let's have a quick look at what's been happening in the world of Disney this week. So kicking off with Walt Disney World news today, and there is some new lollipop merchandise available. Now this includes a brand new pair of ears, there's a lounge fly, a spirit jersey. It matches the lollipop Stitch Eats, which has just come out, which actually, as a side note, also sees Angel joining in for the first time with her own lollipop-inspired dress. Now this lollipop range is available at Walt Disney World, but also Disneyland as well. We've also got some more updates for Tiana's Bayou Adventure, and a brand new gang of frogs have been revealed. Now, they all have their names. There is Felipe, Myra, Isabel, and Mondo, and they'll be bringing their Afro-Caribbean music to the attraction. Disney also released a little personality summary for each, so I think we're going to be seeing these frogs outside of the attraction as well. I'm pretty sure we'll probably see a line of merchandise for them at some point as well. There is also two brand new gift shops coming as part of Tiana's Bayou Adventure. Very, very exciting indeed. And like I said, I'm pretty sure we'll see that new little gang of frogs in those gift shops. Big news also from Disney this week, and Disney have announced new measures to address the abuse of their disability access service, which is something that has been a bit of a problem for a little while. If people are found using it incorrectly when they don't actually need it, Disney have said that people will be subject to a lifetime ban from the park. So it's really not worth abusing the system anymore. It is there for specific people who do have trouble with things like extended wait, standing for long period of times, but they have made some changes with it as well. So it used to be that you could take a party, I think your whole party with you, whereas they've now cut it down to a party of four guests. So if this is something that's applicable to you, definitely go on and make sure that you do familiarise yourself with the new rules when it does kick into action. Sticking with Walt Disney World, 1900 Park Fair has reopened. I think we did touch upon this last week in the news. Both Mirabel and Tiana were seen there last week as well, and Tiana was spotting her brand new Bayou outfit, which is that gorgeous little pantsuit. Absolutely love that. And finally, finishing with Walt Disney World today, music to my ears, the Country Bear sign has been covered over, although it's not because it is disappearing, it is just having a makeover.
Yes, lots of cool stuff happening in Walt Disney World, but as Tash said in today's intro, Disneyland Paris is the focus of today's episode. And whilst we're going to be talking all about the major updates we heard last week in the main part of today's episode, there are some other exciting things that did happen in Disneyland Paris over the last week. So obviously it was the 32nd anniversary or birthday of Disneyland Paris, a big, big happy birthday from Chat Disney. And as part of the celebrations, Studio One's red carpet was released, let down for the last time ever. Very emotional. And as part of this, we saw Minnie, Mickey, Donald all in their dapper gala outfits. Really exciting. Minnie's dress looked to be inspired by Frozen as well. Keep that thought. We'll come back to that. And Oswald was even there to make a special appearance at the gala as well. We also saw some 32nd pins, 32nd anniversary pins released, including Flora, Fauna and Merryweather, as well as a brand new lounge fly. And there was a champagne bar back on Main Street as well. Any excuse for a champagne bar at Disneyland Paris, also to celebrate the 32nd birthday of Disneyland Paris. If that wasn't enough, there was also a musical concert held at the Newport Bay where Maestro Mickey himself was the conductor. And you know, you've got Maestro, Mickey, Oswald, loads of exciting characters in Disneyland Paris over this past week, but none so as exciting as Doctor Strange, who was spotted in Avengers Campus for the first time ever on the roof. We've also heard that Scarlet Witch will be joining him very, very soon as well. And we'll talk a little bit more about the pair of them in today's episode.
We will indeed. And we have some news from the OG park, Disneyland, and Pixar Fest is coming at the end of the month. It starts April 26th and it runs through to August the 4th. And Disney have just released what their foodie items are going to be. So we have a very special grape soda macaroon, obviously paying homage to Up. And we have some Pizza Planet inspired food as well. And I'm sure there will be lots more to come too.
Is that a macaroon or a macaron?
Macaron.
Yeah. Pet peeve of mine, that one. And final bit of news, the Disney cruise. We don't talk about it that much on the Chat Disney podcast. However, it has made a bit of a splash, no pun intended, in the UK over the last couple of months. And well, this is very, very exciting. If you are a Disney cruise fanatic, the Disney Fantasy will be setting sail from Southampton for the first time ever in 2025. There are 3-night, 4-night and 5-night sailings available, and you can go to places like the Norwegian Fjords, you can go to Bilbao in Spain, lots of exciting destinations waiting to be explored via the Disney Fantasy that is now live if you would like to make a booking for 2025. And that is pretty much everything that's been happening in the world of Disney over the past week. Although, that's actually not true. Loads more exciting stuff has been happening in the world of Disney over the last week. And that's why today we are dedicating our entire episode to some very exciting Disneyland Paris updates.
So, I feel like I was potentially living under a bit of a rock last week, because there was a lot of speculation, actually, now I look back, that we knew these updates for Disney were coming. 37 Disney Street talked about it in their episode last week and about how we may even have a new name for this park. And then Mercedes dropped me a message on Friday with breaking news, and I pretty much had to check the date because I thought it was an April Fool's.
Yes. So we are, of course, talking about Walt Disney Studios. This is probably the biggest piece of news that we got out of the media event last week, the Disneyland Paris 32 media event. Walt Disney Studios is having a bit of a rebrand. And basically, we knew this was coming. We've obviously got that new lake that's opening, which we now have a name for, and some new immersive themed areas as well. And the way that Disney have really spoken about this and launched the new rebrand for the park is that Walt Disney Studios, the existing park that we have, was all about going behind the camera. So how are movies made? We had things like the tram tour. We had the studios, the Disney Channel building, which I believe is now where we have the Stitch, Live with Stitch, or it's next to that building. I don't know where that building's even gone, but it was all about the magic of cinema, going behind the camera and seeing how these stories, how these adventures are made. And we've obviously seen over the last few years that that theming is kind of slipping away in quite a big way. The tram tour's obviously gone. The Disney Channel building is no longer in operation because Disney Channel France doesn't exist anymore. Sad, we missed Disney Channel UK as well. And so therefore, that theme, that going behind the camera, has kind of been dripping away, slipping away, I should say, for a period of time. And so Disney are addressing this and have taken the theme back into their hands. And they've said, we've moved now, we've had a pivot. Instead of going behind the camera, we're now putting you in front of the camera. You're now going to live and breathe these stories, these movies yourself. So you can walk around Avengers Campus and imagine that you are training to become an Avenger yourself. You'll be able to walk around Arendelle and imagine that you're in the kingdom of Anna and Elsa for your own self. Toy Story Land as well is very, very immersive. You're shrunk down to the size of a toy. And we've even got the Ratatouille area in more recent years as well, where you really do feel like you're in that Pixar Parisian world that they created for the Ratatouille movie. So I'm really on board with this, first of all. I think that really since we kind of got the Wizarding World of Harry Potter back in, what was it, 2012, I think it was, that it opened in Island of Adventure in Orlando. Since then, immersive lands is definitely the way that the theme park industry is going. And it's not new to Disney. We've just spoken about some of the immersive lands that already exist in Walt Disney Studios in Paris. We've also got things like Avatar, Pandora in Animal Kingdom. We've got the Zootopia land that's opened in Shanghai. Definitely seems to be the direction that the company are going in. And I just want it on record before we get into it. I fully support this new direction.
Oh, 100%. I mean, that park has been crying out for an overhaul for a very, very long time. And I think what they've done is they've looked at the park and what it's become, and it is less about being behind the camera and that whole thing now. And they've kind of created a theme around what they've got, which is quite a clever idea. And then they're gonna put in things to enhance what they've got to make it more of that immersive thing. So they've been smart here. I really like the concept. What I think we should do is go through and kind of react to some of the updates as they were presented on the day at the event. And there might be some things that we really like, that we're really on board with. I can tell you now, there's a couple of things that I'm a little bit iffy about, but we'll get to it as it comes.
We will indeed. So stay tuned for our reaction to the biggest reveal on the day, which we've obviously just alluded to in quite a big way there. But yes, let's go through the media event in its entirety. So the first thing that we got a glimpse of at the media event was the new ride vehicles for the upcoming Tangled themed attraction, which is going to be coming to Walt Disney Studios. And I like them. They're very whimsical. I mean, we only saw a tiny, tiny portion, but it's enough to see that it is the boat that Flynn and Rapunzel take out onto the lake. So I'm imagining, I don't know about you, Tash, but like a Little Mermaid-esque dark ride, but with Tangled theming. And so I'm really excited. And this is going to be brand new for Paris.
It will be, yeah. And I'm really excited about this. I love Tangled. I can just imagine the way they're going to do it with, you know, we know how advanced animatronics are now. You know, we've seen the Tiana that they have at Tiana's Bayou Adventure in America. She's amazing. So I can imagine that we're going to have some really, really cool animatronics here. And I can just imagine the finale of the ride is going to be that At Last I See the Light song, where you're just going to go into a bit and it's just going to be absolutely full of lanterns. I think it's going to be beautiful.
Oh, I cannot wait. I'm genuinely so excited about this. Yeah, if you think about like the Beauty and the Beast dark ride that we've got in Tokyo, if we could get like a Tangled level version of that, honestly, I'm getting excited. And with the lanterns, I think they could do some really cool stuff by incorporating screen technology as well. I kind of want the sky to be endless and go on and on and on.
Yeah, they could make it almost like, and even the floor, they could make it so it's like reflective, so it's like you're really in the water. I've got high hopes for this.
Oh, me too. I'm really excited. It's the first time I've been genuinely really excited about Disneyland Paris for a very, very long time. And it is obviously the park closest home for us. So this is so exciting. And I think I'm going to try my best to not go now to Disneyland Paris until all of this stuff is in, you know, in the park. And one of the things that ties in really nicely to that we heard a little bit more about at the media event was, of course, Frozen Land, which is probably the biggest and most exciting new land that's coming to Walt Disney Studios. And it's basically a replica of Arendelle, which is really exciting. So going back to that, you know, that notion that I kind of spoke about just a moment ago of going into the movies, being a part of the story and living the adventure yourself, you are in Arendelle, complete with Anna and Elsa's castle and Elsa's ice palace kind of nestled in the mountains in the distance as well. This concept art of this looks absolutely stunning. You know, you've got that big lake area in the middle, which, as I say, we've got a name for now, which we will talk about in just a moment. And that lake itself has got boats that look very similar to the Rapunzel boats. So I wonder if the Rapunzel attraction will actually be really close to Arendelle. And I feel that would work, right? Because there's the Kingdom of Corona, the Kingdom of Arendelle, they're very similar aesthetic wise.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think if you're going to put it anywhere, like tie it into kind of the start of Frozen Land. And we've obviously got Frozen Land recently opened in Hong Kong. I don't know if anyone knows. I don't know what they've announced in terms of attraction. Do we know if we're getting the same attractions at this Frozen Land? They've got the Wandering Oaken's coat. Well, I can't remember what it's called. They've got the roller coaster in Hong Kong. I don't know if we're getting that here. It would be nice if we did, because I think Disneyland Paris is crying out for a new coaster.
I think We'll see if it was announced in the media event. I can't actually remember. From memory, I think we're getting the dark ride, which is a rehash of Maelstrom, which I do think is quite lazy. And then, yeah, I think we're getting the coaster. I'm pretty sure.
Cool. Yeah, that's good. Okay, yeah, I can't remember what it's called. It's like Wandering Oaken Sleighs or something.
Yeah, something like that. Isn't it crazy how Oaken's got such a big presence in the parks? Like, even in the Frozen attraction in Epcot, like, he's in the queue and
yeah,
it's funny.
He's become like his own thing, hasn't he, really? We also got teased to a photo from the official site where they are currently doing all of the work. And, I mean, it is a bit of a building site. Lots of cranes, lots of diggers. My son would absolutely have a field day there right now. You can't really see too much else at the moment of what is going on, but it's exciting to look at because we know that there is a hell of a lot of work going on right there.
Yeah, and also the lake. Yes. Like, you can see in the middle of the lake that they've got those, like, little projection things. So we're going to be getting some World of Colour, some Epcot Illumination-esque shows in this park as well. I genuinely mean it when I say I have not been excited about Disneyland Paris as much as I am right now.
I mean, I basically feel like they're building a whole new park.
They are. Yeah. They are, which we'll come on to in just a moment's time. Okay, a little slight deviation from Walt Disney Studios just for a moment, because there was some other really exciting stuff that was announced about the Disneyland Paris resort, and one of those things was in regards to hotels. And lots of the Disney hotels have been reimagined over the coming years, which is great because, you know, the resort opened 32 years ago, so they're in need of a bit of a facelift. And Newport Bay was the first one to have the renovations, and they are absolutely beautiful. The new nautical themed rooms with the hidden Mickeys. Then we've got the Cars Hotel elements over at Santa Fe, the Toy Story elements at Cheyenne. Obviously, New York is now a Marvel hotel. The Disneyland Paris hotel just opened with all the beautiful Disney princess inspired elements. And we've heard it now, and I don't know if this is going to be before or after the Sequoia Lodge retheme, because we had that confirmed a while back, but Davy Crockett is next on the list to be refurbished. And the bungalows are going to be replaced this year, in fact, and they're going to feature a brand new theme, which will be centered around a Junior Woodchuck character. So it sounds like a brand new kind of character, especially for the resort. There is concept art, and it looks as though Huey, Dewey, and Louie, although I think one of them's got eyelashes, so maybe yeah. This is the new Woodchuck.
I was going to say, I haven't heard of Junior Woodchuck character. Like, Junior Woodchuck, is that a thing?
Yes. So a woodchuck is like, Davy Crockett is a woodchuck.
Right, I see.
You must have heard of how much wood could a woodchuck chuck, yes, if a woodchuck, yeah, could... It's like a scout.
So, okay, yeah. So I'm just having a look now, and it looks like this is like a really old thing that they've done with Disney before, with Huey, Dewey and Louie as woodchucks. So it seems that they've maybe made a female woodchuck,
yes,
as well.
She's got a little bow on her hat and eyelashes, and there's only two. I forget which is Huey, which is
Dewey. So this could potentially be quite controversial, because it seems here, and this is just speculation, that they've replaced either Huey, Dewey or Louie with a female.
They have.
Obviously for inclusivity reasons.
Yeah. But why couldn't they have had Huey, Dewey, Louie and this
movie? Exactly, that's my point.
Yeah, maybe Huey is somewhere else and just not, yeah, in this specific image that we see. But I really love the theme. It's really giving me vibes of Pop Century in Walt Disney Studios, especially in the room design. These really clever modern concepts that have like the Murphy beds, and then the really gorgeous animation style. Huey, Dewey and Louie are actually featured quite heavily in Pop Century, which is why it's reminding me of that. So yeah, I think this is really positive, and this would be enough for me to kind of want to stay at Davy Crockett if it has a bit of a re-theme.
I mean, again, I don't know if it would be enough to get me to stay there, just bear in mind its location and things like that, but I do like the re-theme. I think that it's desperately in need of a re-theme. I mean, Davy Crockett is something, you know, it's been that since 1992. Davy Crockett is something that if you ask most people now, they wouldn't even associate with Disney. So it's definitely time for a bit of a reskin with some new characters, yeah, but with some characters and a bit of new IP put in there.
I think controversially, and this is just like the icing on the cake, especially for our American listeners, I feel this might resonate a bit more with you, for where Disneyland Paris missed the mark in the early days in 1992. So all of the Disneyland Paris resort hotels, when they opened, were themed for different parts of America. So the Davy Crockett Ranch, Davy Crockett is obviously like an institution really when it comes to America, but in the UK, and certainly in France, we're not very familiar with the legend of Davy Crockett. And as Tash says, it's not something that we would necessarily associate with Disney. Then you've got Cheyenne, which is cowboy themed and kind of gives like Arizona-esque vibes. Then you've got Santa Fe, which is very New Mexico. Sequoia Lodge obviously is California, the Sequoia trees and up in Yosemite, Tahoe, that kind of vibe. Newport Bay is New England, New York. And then the Disneyland Hotel was like very Victorian turn of the century, but again, for America. So I think that they've been able to kind of repurpose this and make the resort hotels resonate more with us by using Disney IP, and this hopefully will help. There's another concept art that we've seen. I've literally just clicked on it and opened it up. So there's these silhouettes, one of which looks very much like Humphrey the Bear, one that looks like Donald, one that looks like Daisy, and then there are four miniature junior woodchucks. So I think this female character is a new character.
Yes. I wonder with this if there are going to be some people that do get upset because of the whole IP thing when it comes to Disney, although I don't know if that's more of like an American issue. So, it looks like, having a look at initial reactions, there's some quite positive feedback to this. But I think there will definitely be some hardcore people that are not happy with seeing animated, cartoonized.
I don't know. I think with some of the hotels in America, there's been a lot of pushback because they're kind of institutions in themselves. So like the Contemporary Resort becoming an Incredibles hotel.
Yeah.
People weren't happy about that. But Davy Crockett, does anyone really care?
I mean, I don't. That's why I say like, you real hardcore Davy Crockett fans.
No, that doesn't exist. No. I don't think anyone will care. It seems to be the question on everyone's lips is why have we not had an update on Sequoia Lodge?
Yeah.
Because that was the next one that was meant to be refurbished. But looking at it from like a business perspective, we've got the French Olympics this year. They're going to need as much capacity as possible. And I don't think refurbishing Sequoia Lodge this year is a good move from a strategic position. Davy Crockett is mostly families that stay there. It's off-site. They can probably get away with having that closed during the Olympics. And also they can do individual cabins, so it's not all closed at once.
True.
Whereas Sequoia Lodge, that's just not going to happen.
So we've spoken quite a lot recently. Obviously, we've been doing a whole lot of content about Disneyland Paris recently because Mercedes, you recently went there with your son, although that was a couple of months ago now. But when you were there, the whole thing was basically a write-off. It was a complete building site almost. You said that everything was pretty much boarded up. There was only like two narrow walkways down either side because the whole middle was under construction. So we have now had some new concept art for the nighttime of the Disney Village. And again, it doesn't really show too much at the moment. I'm just having a look here to see what we can actually see in this. We've got the Disney Wonders, which is going to be replacing the Disney Store. That's quite a big thing. And then that's really all we can see. We can see some sculptures in the middle.
They're those hideous metal sculptures that we have in the main park.
I am not a fan of those, really. So if you don't know what we're talking about, it's like the Disney princesses, but their gowns are, they're like gappy, they're made out of metal.
They're all around the hub.
They're very modern.
At the moment, if you go to Disneyland Paris, they're all around the hub. I think they were actually put there for the 30th. You've got like Ursula, Merida.
Yeah.
It's the same style as that, which I don't like them. So I'm shocked to see that they're going to be a permanent feature of the Disney Village. But there we are. We also saw a look at the former Disney Fashion Junior shop as well, which that looks a bit different, I guess. It's all kind of neon colors, but with sort of classic Disney images in the background. So the Disney Wonder store that Tash was talking about's got an image of Peter Pan flying through Neverland. There's an image of Sleeping Beauty Castle as well. So yeah, not an awful lot in terms of exterior, but we do know that the Disney Fashion Junior store is going to be a new Disney homeware store, which I'm really excited about. It's got a beautiful kind of Herringdale floor. It looks very Scandinavian, lots of wood, lots of light colours. Actually doesn't look too dissimilar from the aesthetic of my house, I would say. So I'll probably be purchasing quite a few things from there.
I absolutely love the idea of this. Homeware stores are by far my favourite stores without question. So I'm very, very excited for this.
Yes. And then we know that the Disney Fashion and Disney Gallery store will be merged into one much larger store, which will be a fashion shop, which I'm a little bit disappointed about because I love that little gallery shop with the artwork and the little statues. Having said that, I don't know how many people actually bought stuff.
No, they were very much perusing. It looks like there's like a sculpture of Edna Mode hanging out there. So it almost looks like they're maybe trying to do like her fashion quarters a little bit, although the actual store doesn't look like that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. The Lego store will remain and will have a bit of a facelift as well, which is really exciting. And apparently these new stores are all going to be opened by the end of 2024, which is fantastic news. As Tash said, when I went to the Village two months ago now, it was a bit of a pickle. So I do think it's exciting that those stores will all be open by the end of 2024. As Tash mentioned, the Disney store is going to be replaced and changed into Disney Wonders, which doesn't look that dissimilar from just a normal kind of Disney merchandise store. It reminds me of the big Disney shop that we have in Disney Springs in Florida, I would say. It's a bit more spacious.
Yeah, it looks a bit more modern. It definitely looks like it's had a bit of an update.
Yeah, and the sports bar also is remaining, don't worry to all the sports fans out there, but again, is getting a facelift and just being made to look a little bit more modern.
It is indeed. So very, very exciting times for the Disney Village and long overdue. We also had it announced that the Disney Electrical Sky Parade is getting extended until January the 6th, 2025. So if you are planning a trip in the latter half of this year and you were disappointed that you weren't going to get to see this, then you're in luck because it will be extended. But of course, there's no guarantee that you're going to get those drones.
Oh yes, weather dependent. And speaking of nighttime shows, and we kind of teased this a little bit in the news just now, we mentioned that Doctor Strange and the Scarlet Witch are going to be featured as meet and greet characters in Avengers Campus. And that's because they are going to have a much bigger presence generally around the Walt Disney Studios park. And that's because a brand new nighttime show will be premiering on the roofs of Avengers Campus later on this year, featuring the Scarlet Witch and Doctor Strange. Now, this has got to include drones, right? So Doctor Strange, obviously very famous for his kind of circular magic motion, and then Scarlet Witch as well, her red fiery magic. I can see the pair of them having a battle on the roofs of Avengers Campus. They're obviously enemies in the most recent Doctor Strange movie, and I can see, you know, drones flying out instead of powers and this sort of stuff. My sister was actually lucky enough to see the Avengers Force of the Night or something like that show that was on in Walt Disney Studios recently, and she said it was absolutely amazing, and obviously drone technology.
Yeah, so for someone that is obviously not a Marvel fan, I actually really like the concept of this. I think the whole thing of it being like a rooftop show and seeing them battle, it kind of adds into that whole immersive aspect that they're going for. So this is one I probably actually would surprisingly watch.
Yeah, but I think it'll be really, really good. Something that maybe this is controversial, maybe it's not, but I'm not that excited about, and we have spoken about it before, so we won't dwell on it for too long, is the new Alice and the Queen of Hearts Back to Wonderland BMX show that's opening in Walt Disney Studios, premiering this May, May 25th, in fact, if you are going to be around in May this year. So apparently the whole BMX element will be choreographed to music and is going to be artistic, which I am pleased to hear because BMXs to me don't really connote that kind of thing. But yeah, we've seen like clips of some of the choreography, and interestingly, it's kind of giving RuPaul's Drag Race to me, but maybe that's just me. Something about it feels off to me. It feels very Alton Towers, very like fake Disney.
I just don't understand this at all. I'm not an Alice in Wonderland fan at all. And for me, they did a little preview of one of the songs and some of the dances. I actually quite like the song. And it looks very colourful, very fantastical. I actually think I probably would enjoy it more than I do the movie, but the whole BMX thing is just really throwing me off. Like, for me, BMX bikes have no place in a Disney park. It just seems really a strange concept. But they have said that it will make sense once you put it with the music. So who knows? Maybe it will be amazing. It's certainly unique.
The fact that they have to keep being like, it's going to make sense, shows to me that they know it's a bit of a rogue
It's
choice.
So drag as well. Like, if you look at the costumes, it's like it's been heavily inspired by Drag Race.
Yeah, I think so too. And in fact, lots of the comments are saying, you know, this is giving Drag Race runway Alice in Wonderland theme, and I'm here for it. I think there is a really big, I know there is a really big LGBT community that go to Disneyland Paris. There's often pride nights and stuff like that. So it's definitely getting the seal of approval from Drag Race fans. We'll give it that.
Yeah, the Masked Singer as well. Someone's put in a comment, which is very popular at the moment. So they're definitely going with what's current for this.
Yeah, I agree. And this Queen of Hearts look to me even looks like one of the queens from Six, the musical.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's they've gone for that kind of like rebel kind of anarchy. Like, I don't know, very different for Disney. We'll see. I have a sneaky feeling that it might surprise us. That Pixar musical at the moment, honestly, one of the best things I've ever seen at a Disney park. So hopefully this can be the same standard. So sticking with Walt Disney Studios, we did say that Studio One has officially closed now on the Disneyland 32 event day. They had a goodbye ceremony with Mickey and friends. We spoke about it in the news. And we now know that Studio One is going to be completely reimagined into World Premiere. That's going to be its official name. And this looks awfully like Hollywood, and, you know, like you're going to a movie premiere for a park that apparently has now got nothing to do with Hollywood and being behind the camera. But there we are. Maybe, I think the idea here is that you're going into what looks a little bit like a Chinese style theater. That's at the end of the walkway. So I think the idea is that you're going into the movie. I think that's what they're going for.
Yeah, I actually quite like this concept. Again, we've not had a lot of art, but it looks... Again, yeah, very, very kind of similar. It's that whole like inside outside vibe that we've got going on, what it looks like with like sidewalks, listen to me. It looks like there's a big seating area in the middle that's kind of like covered over with lots of lights. It looks quite cool. But yeah, I mean, I think we'll get onto it in a minute when we start talking about how the rest of the park is being reimagined. Because I like this concept, but I don't know if it necessarily fits for me.
I think it does. I think if we look at it at that literal sense of you've got the theatre.
With the concept, yes, there's a big part that I don't think it fits with, but we'll get on to that.
Interesting. Okay, I'm looking forward to hearing what that is. As I say, for me, you're very clearly in the concept art going into a movie theatre, and then obviously you're going to go into the story, which I think kind of does make sense. But what I will say is I don't think it looks that different from what we have today.
No.
Which is quite interesting. And the name World Premiere I find really interesting as well, because it definitely gives me Epcot vibes, and I feel like they're trying to emulate Epcot with this new redesign with the lake and everything. But yeah, you know, World Showcase, Future World, it's not Future World anymore now, it's World of Motion, and all the different new names, they're all, yeah, World.
Interesting.
So that's just one thing that I realized. So yeah, we've got that concept art of the end, and it is definitely, I mean, it looks like a tiki inspired cinema.
It does,
but I think it's like a take on the Chinese theater.
Yeah.
And it looks like we've got the Hollywood Brown Derby as well, which I'll be very excited about, because that is one of my favorite places to eat at Disney's Hollywood Studios. So if we get that restaurant, I'm gonna be happy. Oh, I'm wrong. Hollywood Gardens restaurant.
Oh.
It looked very much like Brown Derby. Hopefully it's like inspired by. So in front of World Premiere, so when you've walked through World Premiere, what was Studio One, you're gonna be met with a new area called World Premiere Plaza. And this at the moment is that kind of miscellaneous area when you first come out of that building, where you've got kind of like the Mickey hat in front of you and Crush's Coaster to your right, Tower of Terror to your left. I'll be honest with you, Tash, it's not looking that different to me.
It doesn't look different at all, really.
I don't really get what we're looking at
No.
here. I feel like I'm just looking at an aerial view of what we have today.
So they've renamed it. They haven't actually said if they've done anything else to it, I don't believe.
Yeah, I'm sure there's like some new trees, but let's move on. I'm not seeing anything that exciting there. So we were wrong, Tash. We then found out at the media event, after being teased about this Rapunzel attraction and us imagining this amazing dark ride, that no. I don't know why they didn't tell us this at the time. But the new ride, the Tangled ride with the lovely boat that we were teased earlier on in the media event, is in fact Rapunzel's Tangled Spin. And there are lanterns, but what I'm looking at is basically the waltzer from a fun fair in boats.
This is the most disappointed I think I've ever been at the announcement of an attraction. They could have done so much with this. And I understand that, you know, space is limited and they've got other things going on, yada, yada, yada. But to tease those beautiful boats and then to literally put them on this. And it is, I don't have a problem with there being a ride like this. My problem is when you look up and, like you say, Mercedes, it's very fun fair. It's almost like you can see like the metal bars, the lights, the floating lanterns just look like basic lights. Like, I think, come on, Disney, you could do something a lot better here.
Yeah, I mean
we have things like this, like the Cars. I know it's not a waltzer, but we have that Cars Luigi's thing where that spins around. We don't need the teacups. We don't need another spinning ride.
Yeah, it's very disappointing.
I mean, I guess you could say we don't need another dark ride, but at least the dark ride tells the story. It's unique in that sense. We don't need that.
Yeah, I completely agree. Moving swiftly on, we also know there'll be a new lakeside table service restaurant. We desperately need more table service restaurants at Disneyland Paris. And this one will be called the Regal View. It's nice. It's quite modern looking. It's definitely giving me vibes of the World of Disney store that we have in Disneyland Paris, Disney Village, like the kind of art deco. It's not very fantasy to me. I think it looks quite modern, but no idea what the menu will be. And really, for me, when it comes to restaurants, it's all about the food. So not much more to say there.
Yep. And then we come on to talking about the lake area, which we were speaking about earlier. It's what I was saying, where they're doing a load of construction around it at the moment. And they have announced the name of this area, and it is going to be called Adventure Bay. Now, this is where and we will talk about this more as we get to the big finale of this whole piece. This is where I start to lose hope a little bit, because the whole Adventure Bay thing, it doesn't fit in to me with the immersiveness that they're going for, with the whole movie thing that they're going for, not going behind the camera, going into the story. I'm not filled with that much hope about this. I like the idea that they're having the big lake and that it's going to be used for shows and what that's going to bring with it. I think it's an amazing idea to do this. I've just lost hope with the name.
We'll talk more about the word adventure.
Hard to not talk about it.
Well, what I would say, and this will be the only thing I'll say because I've got a lot more to say, I don't have an issue with Adventure Bay. I think adventure is the correct term, because you're going into these stories of adventure. Let's remember, from a business perspective, like, I'm trying not to stereotype, but Disney will definitely be thinking Disneyland Park's the girls park, this is the boys park, or, you know, the less princessy fluffy version. I don't see it that way. I'm talking like a CEO. And you know, you've got your adventures, your Avengers campus, your Toy Story. It's all an adventure. I do see that adventure works. However, we have the slight issue of having Adventureland next door. That's my issue with adventure.
Exactly. And I think when I think of adventure, when I think of Disney, I think very much of Adventureland. Like, I think if this is trying to create something that's more like when you think of adventure, I get what you're saying about, you know, they're going into these different adventures, but adventure is like almost like a genre on its own.
You're thinking and Jungle Cruise.
Exactly, yep. Exactly. Yep. And when I think of Marvel, I don't think Marvel is not an adventure film. Pixar is not adventure.
I think
this could be more of like Story Bay. I know that probably better to be in like Fantasyland storybooks, but Story Bay or something like that.
So I've actually given this a lot of thought, and the correct name for this bay is Storyteller's Bay.
That's the name.
That's what it should have been called. I've given this a lot of thought. I don't know why that's not the name, but whatever. I see what you're saying. You're saying the word adventure in a Disney setting has got too many connotations that don't fit with this.
Absolutely.
Yep, I agree. But looking at it as a general person, not a Disney fan, I do think Adventure Bay works, and we'll leave it at that. My issue with it is that Adventureland is next door. So we now also know that around Adventure Bay will be Arendelle, and the name for Arendelle will be the World of Frozen. I don't think it needs to be called that. I think it can just be Arendelle. I don't understand. In Animal Kingdom, we have, it's called Pandora, the World of Avatar, but could this not be Arendelle, the World of Frozen, for people that don't know?
Yeah, see, that's what I was going to say. I think they've called it the World of Frozen to more of like what it does, like does what it says on the tin. You will get a lot of fair weather people who are like, oh, I love Frozen. The kids love Frozen. What's Arendelle? Like, I think that they're trying to just be more literal with it. But you're completely right. Call it Arendelle, the World of Frozen.
100%. And everyone calls Avatar World Pandora.
Yes,
everyone. Yeah. Because it's called Pandora, the World of Avatar. Yeah. I would love this to be Arendelle, the World of Frozen.
Yeah.
I actually am quite upset about this.
It's very basic.
It's so basic. Frozen World of Frozen, World Premiere. It is giving Epcot, definitely.
But also that, if you're trying to go for this whole immersive thing, obviously call it Arendelle.
100%.
Calling it World of Frozen 100%. Takes away from that completely.
I agree. There will be Harry Potter fans that aren't familiar with the term Hogsmeade. It's not the main place, yet it's Hogsmeade. It's Diagon Alley. It can't be the World of Frozen if you're in the World of Frozen. Frozen doesn't exist in the World of Frozen.
Galaxy's Edge, like, essentially has nothing to do with Star Wars, but, like, well, we know what it is.
Galaxy's Edge is a difficult one for me, because that's wrong as well. Because Galaxy's Edge, I don't know why it's called that. It's the edge of the galaxy, I guess. But Galaxy's Edge is called Batuu.
Yeah, that's true.
Batuu is the name of the town.
Yeah, good point.
They've created a fictional town, Batuu, and then not called it Batuu.
But what I'm saying is it's better than calling it like Star Wars.
The World of Star Wars. Exactly, because in Batuu, Star Wars doesn't exist. And even to the point where if you ask a cast member, I mean, they've definitely softened this now. But at the time, if you ask them like, oh, where's Obi-Wan, they'd be like, what?
Yeah.
Like, because it was, you're in Batuu. In the same way that if I'm in Arendelle, I don't expect Olaf or Elsa or whatever to have heard of Ariel or Jasmine, because I'm in Arendelle, where Frozen doesn't exist.
Yeah.
But anyway, we digress. So a little bit more about Walt Disney Studios. We know we've got World Premiere. We know we've got the World of Frozen. We know we've got Adventure Bay. And the big finale, really, of this media event was, of course, what we'd all anticipated. Walt Disney Studios opened March 16th, 2002. But it is going to cease to exist when the World of Frozen opens. Because when the World of Frozen opens, this park is getting a brand new name. I'm sure you already know the name. Hey, it's in the title of today's episode. But Tash, will you do the honours?
So, Walt Disney Studios is being rebranded as, drumroll, Disney Adventure World.
Okay, so we're not a fan?
I am not a fan. It is, I don't like it. It's that same thing that I said. It's the word adventure. It's so basic. It's not creative. The adventure thing. And again, maybe I do need to get out of my head and look at this from like a more Plutonic standpoint. Maybe it is because I have those connotations so strongly with Adventureland and Jungle Cruise and yada, yada, yada. But for me, it just doesn't explain what it's trying to do.
Can I interject?
Sure.
Do you have an issue with California Adventure?
No.
Right, so that's not got any Jungle Cruise, any rainforest.
No, but I can tell you why this isn't. It's a stupid reason. It's because it's always been that for me. I went there when I was 10. It was always California Adventure. I didn't have those connotations at that time of going.
Okay, so I have
And also with that park as well, sorry, you do have like, I can't remember the area, but you have
Grizzly
that
Bear.
Whole, the Grizzly Bear River Run. There's a lot of stuff there. I mean, that park has always been a bit of a mashup because you have that whole kind of movie backdrop whole thing alongside that Grizzly Bear area, alongside the pier. But it is to
California.
Do with California.
Yeah.
So it kind of worked. So I get it more in that sense.
Can I just interject on something else? I've got 2 points to make, and I'm purposely playing devil's advocate. I'm acting as the VP of Disneyland Paris, or whoever made this decision, the marketing team. We know we're getting 2 more immersive lands around Adventure Bay. We don't know what they are. We can pretty much guarantee that one of them is not going to be Galaxy's Edge, Batu. There's a rumor, a very strong rumor, that one will be Pandora, Avatar, and that the other will be Lion King. Lion King is often featured in Adventureland. It's featured in Adventureland in Disneyland Paris. We've got that Hakuna Matata Cafe or whatever it's called with the famous salad. Does that soften it for you? Because, and the reason I'm asking you this is because you said that you don't have an issue with California Adventure because you've always known it as that, but also it's got that grizzly element. If there was this Lion King element, does that make it better?
No, because it's still, yeah, that fits in with that. If they were creating a whole new park with just that, but it's where the Marvel, the Frozen, the Toy Story.
But there's Toy Story and California Adventure.
I know, we're splitting hairs now.
Fine. But... okay. And then the second point I'm going to make, I just, sometimes it really pains me when people don't listen to me. Have I or have I not been saying, probably since we started this podcast, that they need to rename it Disney's French Adventure? Have I not been saying Disney's Paris Adventure, I think I actually said. And I said, like, I want to see like an immersive Ratatouille, an immersive Hunchback, an immersive, like California Adventure. Disney's European Adventure would work really, really nicely. I mean, you've got Toy Story and Star Wars and Marvel in there, which doesn't. But if they thought about this at the time of building it, Disney's European Adventure, happy, happy days. German beer hall with Snow White, nice French bit with Ratatouille. They didn't think about this. So those names, obviously, you can't have Disney's French Adventure with Avengers Campus in. So that name was lost. I'm playing devil's advocate on purpose, mostly because this is what I do for a living. I'm a product marketer and naming things is a really big part of my job. And I don't mind if you don't like the name of something, but you've got to have a better name. There's no point poo-pooing something. So my question to you, Tash, is what would you have named this immersive storytelling, you see what I did there, park?
I would have, I don't like the world, for one. I would have called it, it would have had to be something to do with storytelling, I think, if that's the whole concept they're going for with the whole immersive thing. Come back to me on that. I'm gonna think of a name, but it would have been to do with that. It would have been like not Storytellers Park, it would have been story, I don't know, something to do with that, something to do with narrative, something to do with, yeah, like these stories that we're that they want us to be going into, that they want us to be immersing themselves with.
Yeah,
I just don't like it. I think it looks very corporate. I don't like the logo. It almost looks a bit Disney Plus-esque.
It does. It does look like Disney Plus. I think the Disney Plus team might have named it. There's a few issues. So the only reason, I actually don't think adventure is a bad word. My issue with adventure is that you've got Adventureland next door. I really don't think that works. I've really got an issue with the word world. And I'll tell you why. Disneyland Paris is a land because it's a small European resort with 2 parks. Disneyland in California is a land because it is a small resort with 2 parks. The only thing that gets to be called world is Walt Disney World, and it has earned that right. There are 4 immersive theme parks, over 20 themed hotels, 2 water parks, a massive, massive sprawling shopping town. How on earth can this be a world if Walt Disney World is a world? Like, in the hierarchy of names, you've got Disneyland, Disney Sea, you know, California Adventure, Epcot, Hollywood Studios. Nothing else is giving this bold, you know, the boldness of a world. I wonder also, again, I'm just going out on a whim here. We're a Disney podcast, but we do look at other influences. A synonym of adventure is epic. Something that reminds me of a world, a little bit bigger, but would be a universe. Mm-hmm. This is feeling very Universal's Epic Universe, which is due to open at the end of this year, beginning of
next.
But
you've also got Isle of Adventures as well for Universal.
So true. It's giving Universal, isn't it? And that's fair, because let's be honest, Disney have always looked to Universal when it comes to the second part. Hollywood Studios is a complete rip-off of Universal Studios, as was Walt Disney Studios. So I do get that. For me, I think there's something about... Yeah, I think... What do I think would have been... I think explore is the word.
Yes, explore would have been much better.
Explore. Like... Exploration, park. I don't know. It also
park exploration. Park.
No, not park exploration.
I'm brainstorming here. Park.
Explore the world or something, or explore. I don't know. Explore Disney Explorer Park. I don't know what it is. I need time to actually think about it. I do think Storytellers something would have been lovely. Storytellers Bay is so poetic. I'm really angry that that's not the name of the bay. But also the other thing we have to think about, again, putting on my marketing hat. The language barrier. Adventure World is really easy to translate in French, Spanish, German. They do have to think about that being the only European park in the world. If it was like, you know, something like Epcot, or using the Kingdom is used all the time. Magic Kingdom, Animal Kingdom, Explorer's Kingdom.
Adventure Kingdom.
But it's still got the adventure, and yeah. That's my issue with Adventureland. But I think...
Storyteller's Kingdom.
Storyteller's Kingdom is too princessy, though.
Yeah, that's true.
And you've
true.
Only got
yeah.
Frozen. I think I love Storytellers, but it does make you think of storybook.
It does.
And that's not correct. I think Storytellers Bay works. I think Explorer's Kingdom is the name.
Explorer's Kingdom.
It's the best I've got anyway. But that's 5 minutes. It's not bloody Adventure World, is it?
No.
Adventure World feels really masculine, though. And I think that's maybe what they were going for. I think Kingdom
is a bit... It feels like, and I was doing a bit of Googling, there is... a massive theme park in, I think it's in Perth in Australia, called Adventure World. And that's what it seems like. It seems like we're going on holiday to Spain, like, or let's like try and find a local theme park or Adventure World. This sounds good. And it's just a mashup of, there's no theming. It's just a mashup of random rides. That's what it suggests to me.
It's interesting as well that Walt Disney Studios, and I'm not talking about how I feel here, because I happen to love California Adventure, but in the Disney community and like the general consensus, the only other park that gets as much hate really from Walt Disney Studios, I would say, is California Adventure, maybe Hollywood Studios. They're the three parks that people love to hate because they are just all a bit mismatched. It's very interesting that they've chosen to use the word adventure when everyone hates California Adventure, doesn't understand it, and that's adventure. It's like, why have you rehashed the other park that everyone hates? Like, it makes no sense. It's a shame that Europe isn't to the west of America, and then they could have finally done their Westcott theme that they wanted to do at California. But like, I think this could have been its own thing. I think Explorer's Kingdom is the best I've got, and I'm sure I'll come up with something else after I've had time to digest this. But the question on our lips really today for you, the listener, is what would you have named Walt Disney Studios Park? So please do let us know. As I always say in every episode, if you're listening today on Spotify, you don't even have to leave the app. There's a little text field. You can simply just pop the name in there. What would you call this new immersive inside the camera park? And can you think of anything better than Explorer's Kingdom? Because that's all I've got.
We will report back next week, and I'm giving us the challenge to each come up with a name. I know you've sort of already come up with for
I'll
next
try and
episode
think of something else.
To come up with the best name possible that we can.
Okay, challenge accepted, and we will report back. But that is all from this week, and we don't want to leave it on a downer. We are very, very excited about the reimagining of Walt Disney Studios, and as we said at the beginning of today's episode, we're really, really on board with the new direction, the idea of these immersive lands being a part of the story, being a part of the magic. Magic could have been part of the name. There you go. There's some food for thought. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're really, really on board with everything. And honestly, I've said it a few times. This is the most excited I've ever been about Disneyland Paris, I think, like, ever.
Oh, I mean, I'm incredibly excited. And I will definitely, definitely be booking a trip for opening, not month maybe, but opening... first quarter, hopefully. Open yeah. year.
We'll avoid those crazy queues in the beginning. Yeah. But there we are. Let us know your thoughts. And as I said, you can get in touch on Spotify. You can find us on Twitter at @ChatDisneyUK.
Or on Instagram at @ChatDisney.
Until then, we will see you next Monday, same time, same place.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Thank you. Goodbye now. Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you. Goodbye.